You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G. D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team.
Yo, Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team, every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com and use the promo code Locked On, and you'll get 20% off your next order. This is the daily podcast covering the World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Vince Samperio, Chavez Ream Fiends. Back here with Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential. Jeff, it's just us two today.
Yeah, which is okay. You know, we're not too bad. We're no Dodgers 40-man roster member, but, you know, we're okay.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We are okay. We are not too bad. We got a couple small things to talk about. A reliever that did not sign with the Dodgers and his contract structure, which is a little different. And then we'll get into the MLB memo sent out to teams about fans at games in 2021. But before all that, a quick reminder to subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. When you get in your car or if you're at home, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. I had a couple of housekeeping things. Max Muncy and his wife Kelly announced that they are expecting a child. The wording they used, what else was there to do in a bubble? And yeah, the dates coincide with that. So when the Dodgers were in Texas, Max Muncy decided, all right, we're going to have a kid as well as win a World Series championship. And then we had David Price post a video of him throwing, saying never felt better. You know, just from the angle, might have been the angle, I don't know. It looked really good. It was just two normal pitches, but they looked fast, so I'll take that. And then Mookie Betts got engaged to his girlfriend, now fiance. It's kind of crazy. They've been together 15 years, and Mookie Betts is 28 years old, so you do the math. They've been together since middle school. They have a daughter together, and now they will be married, so the Dodger family continues to grow and get stronger and strive away from that Hollywood lifestyle that Anthony Rendon mentioned.
Yeah. And my big takeaway from Mookie's engagement was, if I tried to wear any of the clothes that Mookie Betts wears, I would look like I was on my way to the circus, and not to view the circus, but to perform in the circus. And yet Mookie looks like the coolest person alive wearing those clothes. And I would look ridiculous.
Yeah, that's something. I think both of us can't pull that look off, but Mookie can. So good for Mookie. The other thing we had is that Liam Hendricks has signed, and it's not with the Dodgers. He signed a interesting contract. So it's $54 million guaranteed. It might be 3 years, it might be 4 years, but either way, it's $54 million guaranteed. I'm not sure exactly, and Jeff, you may know, how the AAV is going to work on that. He's getting $54 million no matter what, and it might be over 4 years, which would be $13.5 million, or it might be over 3 years, which would technically be $18 million. So, yeah, interesting structure. He can get bought out for $15 million, or the White Sox, who signed him, can keep him around for the $15 million no matter what. If they do buy him out, then the contract, that $15 million, is able to get deferred over a few years. But yeah, Jeff, initial thoughts on Hendricks not signing. Is it out of the Dodgers' price range, or is it just happen to be the White Sox?
Yeah, I think the Dodgers probably didn't want to pay that much. I don't actually know for sure. Maybe next time you're talking, I will pretend to listen to you, but I'll actually do some research. But I don't know for sure how that works for AAV. But yeah, I've never seen a contract structured like that, where he gets the same amount, where the buyout amount is the same as the fourth year salary. The only difference is, if they buy him out, then they don't have to pay him that $15 million all at once or all in one season like they would if it's his actual salary that year. It's spread out over several years, so it would save them money. Even if it doesn't save them salary. But yeah, I am really interested, and I wish I had thought of this before we started recording, but luckily, you're going to talk for a minute now while I do some research, and I'll find out what it means for AAV.
Yeah, I hadn't seen. I know Mark Feinstein had tweeted out that the AAV would count on the 3 years and then and the whole guaranteed salary, but I'm not sure if he was saying that out of knowing or just kind of assuming. But either way, it's interesting. The $54 million is the number that stands out, but if the Dodgers had signed him for 4 years, $54 million, I wouldn't have really blinked an eye too much. You know, the 13.5 AAV is pretty good for luxury tax purposes. It's cheaper than Kenley Jansen was during his contract. You can't project if Hendricks is going to be as good as he has been the last 2 years in the next 4 years. But at that type of deal, realistically, if he gives you two good years and one maybe decent year where he's still a vital, or not even vital, just a part of the bullpen, whether it's middle relief, whatever it is, then it's worth it. But I can see why the Dodgers didn't do it. They may never pay a closer that much again after seeing what happened to Jansen. And just based on the nature of how Andrew Friedman thinks about the bullpen, we were not surprised when they re-signed Kenley Jansen. He was at the top of his game at the time, had been a Dodger, came up through the system. It would seem to be more of a play on the fact of keeping the guys together, and that's what it costs to keep him, especially with Mark Melanson and Rolldis Chapman in free agency that year. But either way, it's not going to end the Dodgers. The Dodgers have signed a few guys and took flyers on a couple guys that will make the bullpen more than likely solid, and if not, they'll go out and get the guys they need in via trade if they falter.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I haven't found this yet, but luckily we're going to do a break right now. And so by the time we get back from this break, which will seem like just seconds to the listener, I'm going to have an answer.
There we go. Make sure to keep it locked on, Dodgers. Are you trying to win some extra money in 2021? Who wouldn't mind a few extra dollars in your pocket? Well, you can do so by betting on sports. And if you know, you don't even have to know about sports to bet on sports. And if you do know about sports, it doesn't necessarily help you in betting on sports all the time. But either way, if you're trying to do that, there's only one place to do it. There's only one place we trust. That's betonline.ag. And right now you can get a 50% welcome bonus after your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON at betonline.ag. You got NFL playoffs, you got basketball going on, college basketball going on, soccer going on. There's some big UFC fights coming up in the next month. There's a lot of things you guys can bet on, and why would you wait to do it? You know, get some practice in before baseball season, before the Dodgers start. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action and use that promo code LOCKEDON at betonline.ag for a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. RockAuto.com is the place you need to go for all your car parts needs. RockAuto.com is a family business that's been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. They are the best place to go because they do not have separate pricing for mechanics and for regular Joes. They have the same pricing for everyone, and that's some of the best pricing on the market. There's no reason for you to even have to leave your couch. Just go to rockauto.com, search their catalog, which is unique and remarkably easy to navigate, and see all the parts available for your vehicle by brand, specification, and prices, however you want to see it. And best of all, rockauto.com prices are always reliably low. So why wouldn't you do it? And if you go to rockauto.com and they ask, how did you hear about us? Make sure to tell them Locked On sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. Locked On MLB, if you want a podcast, and if you want to join Walking Baseball Encyclopedia, Paul Francis Sullivan, please call him Sully, every day on Locked On MLB for a unique look at the majors, both present and past. Exciting guest interviews, routine check-ins from the Locked On MLB Network team of local experts, and insightful analysis of the day's biggest stories. Locked On MLB is the single best source for daily baseball talk. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcast. All right, Jeff, we are back, and do you have an answer for us?
I think so. I've been reading the CBA, which is always really fun. Attorneys definitely know how to liven up their writing, and it's a real page turner. And from what I can tell, I'm pretty sure that this will be treated as a 3-year, $54 million contract. So an $18 million average annual value, because from what I can tell, any buyout is considered a a signing bonus. And so if the White Sox in the end decide to buy out that fourth year, ultimately it would retroactively be considered a signing bonus. And so they would have paid him that $54 million for the 3 years. What I can't figure out in a quick reading is, I think that means that if they don't buy him out and they actually exercise their option, it seems like his competitive balance tax number for that fourth year would be zero, because they would have already covered the whole $54 million in those first 3 years. And if that's the case, that might be interesting, because the White Sox, I don't think, are going to come anywhere close to the CBT this year. But if they are considering going forward in the future, I wonder if that's a little loophole they found, that a way to make him not cost anything towards the CBT in future years, which is kind of weird. But yeah, ultimately, it's probably mostly just an academic exercise, since, like I said, the White Sox aren't likely to be pushing up next to the CBT. And for that matter, they're not likely to be in 2024 either. So it probably doesn't matter at all. But that's the best I can tell from the CBA.
I mean, and who knows, with the bunch of the young guys they have, if they sign a couple guys to some big extensions, then they end up being successful and winning, they may add some more players. So they could end up pushing up to that line at some point, and having that fourth year, if it is like the way you think, that'd be pretty wild. And something you would imagine the Dodgers could get into soon. If that is a loophole, that is. If there's a loophole, Andrew Friedman will try to use it.
Yeah, you'd think so.
All right, so MLB sent out a memo to teams outlining the, quote, minimum health and safety standards for the 2021 season. It does not mandate that fans would have to provide proof of vaccination or negative COVID test result before entering a ballpark this season. The teams, based on themselves or state or local authorities and mandates, could decide to require some of those things, but MLB itself is not going to expect teams to require that. It looks like fans will be required to wear masks if they do attend any games in 2021, and that pod seating will remain a thing, similar to the NLCS and World Series, where you sit with the same 2 to 4 people, whatever it is, and you don't have anyone else sitting around you within 6 feet. That is not a mandate in it, but basically they would imagine that everyone's going to require pod seating if you are going to have fans. If that is not a requirement in your state or local area, MLB would have to approve any seating arrangement that reduces distance less than 6 feet for groups. Beyond that, fans wear masks at all times except when eating or drinking at their seats, social distancing being enforced in line center ballpark or for concessions and merchandise, and when leaving the ballpark, hand sanitizer, hand washing stations widely available, and a buffer zone of at least 6 feet be established between fans and the playing field, very similar to that of the NLCS and World Series in Texas. I don't know how it's going to be in California. I would imagine that at least throughout the early part of the season, that if you want to see the Dodgers play, you may have to travel to some of these states with looser restrictions.
Yeah, it's ultimately, like you said, that this report is basically saying MLB is going to treat it exactly the way they treated the postseason in Texas. And, when I first heard about this, I saw a lot of hand-wringing. How dumb can MLB be not to require testing or vaccine? Personally, I kind of like the approach they took, that, you know, they're not saying teams can't require it. And I think with 30 different teams in, you know, 20 different parts of the country, it makes sense. If there is, they're requiring the minimums, the social distancing and the masks. Beyond that, if there's a team in an area where the COVID rate is really low, there's no reason for them to have to, just hypothetically speaking, say the Royals, say Kansas City just ends up with almost no COVID long before LA does. You know, why should the Royals have to live by the same restrictions that the Dodgers do. And so that makes sense to me. And you know, it does require a little bit of faith that the individual teams will be smart about it. And I can understand. I'm sympathetic to people who aren't inclined to give MLB teams any benefit of the doubt. But all in all, I think what we're going to see is a pretty uniform approach anyway. And I think, you know, obviously, if whenever the Dodgers are allowed to have fans in the stadium, they're going to have to follow whatever guidelines California and Los Angeles have. And most likely that will include proof of vaccination or a test result. You know, like I said in the article, I don't know how feasible a test result is because there's not a lot of access to rapid result tests, and saying I was negative when I took a test 3 days ago isn't actually that much better than saying I haven't taken a test. And so in the end, who knows what's going to be required by the state, but I'm perfectly happy to let the individual teams defer to their own state and city requirements rather than having MLB hand down a mandate from above.
Yeah, realistically, as it got near to 2021, the writing was on the wall that there no stadium was going to be packed to the brim. You know, Dodger Stadium wasn't going to have any sellouts. All these other stadiums weren't going to have any sellouts. There was going to have to be some sort of protocol and safety measures. And, you know, for the most part, I felt relatively safe when I went in Texas for the World Series. And that's just based on the bare minimum measures, the pod seating. You know, the reduced fans already makes it less of everyone else out there. You know, people making sure, the ushers making sure for the most part that you're wearing the mask. You know, some were a little bit more lenient than others. And the concession stands, you know, being able to buy it on your phone, go pick it up, or the shorter lines, whatever else it was. I'd never felt, you know, oh my God, this is, I felt more like that at grocery stores than I have at that game. So if teams can be able to do that and make sure that just, you know, everyone does what they're supposed to do, not people don't gather together on the concourses and watch the game together to try to avoid the pod seating and things like that. There's a lot of different ways it can go about, but minimum safety rules are fine with me. And like I said, on the vaccinations and the negative COVID results, what it really is it going to change? I mean, obviously you wouldn't want anyone coming in with positive, and maybe that's, I don't know, maybe there's some way to do that. Or if a team wants to pay, I know the Warriors had thought about having rapid testing available like a few hours before game time when they wanted to have fans, and then they, you know, those fans, if they test negative, they can go in. If they test positive, obviously they can't go in. But realistically, you're gonna have to still wear your mask. You're still gonna have to do all the mandates. So at the very least, if someone goes in without a vaccination and someone goes in with the vaccination, they're still gonna be doing the exact same thing. They're gonna have masks on. They're gonna have to go through all the protocols. You know, they're gonna have to do whatever is required by the team. So I don't think vaccination doesn't change too much. They may be able, you know, some team may say, hey, we want to get more fans in here, so we're going to pony up for some rapid results and try to get more people in here to spend more money. But I can't see that happening.
Yeah, it doesn't seem likely at this point. I've kind of got my eyeball on what Colorado looks like, though, because the Dodgers open up the season in Colorado on April 1st, I believe, right? And Colorado happens to be the closest stadium to me. It's a quicker drive for me to get to Coors Field than it is for me to get to Dodger Stadium. Still not a quick drive. It's about eight or nine hour drive. But I can, I'm going to keep my eye on that, because it wouldn't be a bad idea to go to opening day if Colorado has stuff in place for me to be able to be in Coors Field.
Yeah. You would imagine NL West, Arizona, Colorado might be your best bet. Just because the Padres and the Giants both also play in California, which has not had any fans for any sporting events for the entire time it's been going on. So, yeah, you're going to have to check that, check other schedules. It's going to be probably a traveling year if you want to play, or if you want to watch the Dodgers in person this year, which is, you know, good and not good. It just depends, you know, financially. If you're not going, if you usually go to 5+ Dodger games, and you can't do that this year, but you can go to, you know, maybe one weekend series or one series away. It might end up working out the same. But obviously, we would love to be at Dodger Stadium. But just the way it's going, unless some, you know, they have opened up, or they're going to start opening up mass vaccination sites at Dodger Stadium, at Disneyland, even at Petco Park, and I believe a couple other places. So maybe, you know, if the test key or if the vaccination keep coming in, the numbers go down, we could see it. But I just can't see it for LA right now, at least early on. Maybe in the later in the summer, if things get a little bit better.
Yeah, it's so hard to tell what's going to happen. Everybody's got their predictions, and, you know, they're based on the data available, but we don't really know how fast the vaccination rollout's going to go. We don't know exactly what impact that's going to have on the transmission rate and all of that stuff. And so right now, all we can do is guess. But yeah, I mean, I'm excited. I've got my new season ticket seats. I switched seat location, and I'm excited for the new ones. And, you know, I'm excited to be in Dodger Stadium. I haven't been in the new Dodger Stadium. The last time I was at Dodger Stadium was, I don't even remember. It must have been one of those games against the Nationals in the NLDS. I know I wasn't there in the last game, but I assume I went to one of those. Was it 2-2-1? So I think I was at games 1 and 2 of that series. So that's the last time I was at Dodger Stadium, and that's too long. I'm ready to rectify that.
Yeah, it's definitely too long. Another quick note, spring training games, or Rob Manfred said that teams should expect to start spring training or start reporting in spring training next month in February and to play a full 162-game season. And as for spring training, the memo said teams are required to use pod seating and submit a health and safety plan to the league office for approval in accordance with MLB guidance. Fans would not be permitted to watch morning workouts or other pregame activities unless those events are held in the ballpark under the same seating plan as the games. Spring training is in Arizona and Florida. Florida has very loose restrictions, so you may be able to go see games there. But the Dodgers are in Arizona, which has had looser restrictions in California. But I know their numbers have been going up as well, so we'll just have to wait and see if spring training will be a possibility.
Yeah, we'll see, but I'm not counting on it. I'm usually by this time of year, I've started looking at spring training dates and trying to figure, okay, when can I sneak my kids out of school to take a trip down to Arizona? But I don't think I'm even going to give it a try this year.
All right, Jeff, that'll do it for that discussion. You have anything else before we head out?
I don't think so.
All right, that'll do it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already done so. Make sure to check out yesterday's episode with Dodgers prospect and 40-man roster holder, spot holder, Zach Rex. If you haven't already listened to that, make sure to tell your friends and family. Make sure if you're not listening every day to try to listen every day. It's only 5 times a week for about 20 to 30 minutes, so not too much of your time. But if not, at least bump it up at least one extra spot a day, and that'll help us out greatly. If you want to follow us on social media, we are on Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. Oh, we are currently running a bobblehead promo, so make sure to go find that tweet from the Locked On Dodgers Twitter account and retweet and make sure you're following in order to be able to win a bobblehead that Jeff is so kindly provided. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car or if you're at home. Tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bye!